chapter number 8. I'd like to start reading today in verse number 26. The book of Acts, chapter number 8 and verse 26. Sure enjoyed the singing this morning. Paul and Silas were singing at the midnight hour. If there's ever been a time that we need singing in the midnight hour, it is this morning. And there's a big difference in singing and singing. Amen. A big difference in whipping and whooping. Time out ain't working for America. I sure am glad there's a God that can straighten out our country this morning. Nothing too hard for the Lord. And I sure am glad that I know who He is today. God's been good to me, and I'm thankful for how good He's been. I'm not only thankful, I'm grateful. And so our problem in church today that we become unclear on both, but we need to stay thankful. We need to stay grateful, and we need to stay faithful. And so the Lord, He's still in the blessing business. Now in Acts chapter number 8, verse 26, and the angel of the Lord, He spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. The Bible said, and he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopian, who had the charge of all her treasure, he had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He is returning and sitting in his chariot. And he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said. I'm glad we got a Holy Ghost that can still say something in this day and hour that we live. He said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up. Philip must have been real low. Our problem with a lot of Christians today, they done got too high-minded and too highfalutin. But, honey, I tell you what sinners is looking for. They're looking for somebody to be lowly that can get up and tell them about Jesus. The name above all names. Hey, you ain't done God a favor for coming in here this morning. God has done us a favor. And if we'll stay lowly, God will use us in this day and hour. He wanted him to come up, sound like he was in a low place. You can be seated this morning. Rabbits has got up. Amen. I'm an old rabbit hunter, and I love it when rabbits get up. We may have some fried rabbit and white milk gravy this morning. Amen. The problem, a lot of y'all, you've quit eating out of brush piles and fence rows. Amen. My God fed our family on a single barrel shotgun and an old hickory butcher knife. Somebody say amen right there. A rabbit get up, and I'd shoot him. I'd bring it home, and my mama would take that butcher knife and cut the back of that rabbit. She'd say, put your fingers in here and pull, boy. The problem with some of y'all, you done got too good to eat rabbit anymore. Somebody say amen right there. High fried rabbit will still help you on a Sunday morning. The Bible said, now, he said, how can I except some man should guide me. He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? This of himself or of some other man? He said, I've heard you read out of Isaiah 53. And I want to know, was the prophet talking about himself or some other man? And so I like what Philip did. He opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. And if you got the wrong kind of Bible, you ain't even got that verse in your Bible this morning. But if you got the right kind of Bible, you'll find out, honey, how to get to heaven. It's not by the way of the tub. It's not under the water spout. But it's under the blood of the darling Lamb of God. He said, if you just believe with all of your heart, then you can be baptized. I'm glad they still some boys got the story straight. Then he said, they went on their way and came to certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, I want to read it again. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, the greatest words that ever come out of his mouth. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way, rejoicing. Father, we love you this morning. We want to thank you for this time together at your house. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that still tell the old, old story. Help us now in the preaching. We sure do need you. God, I'm a needy preacher this morning. Would you touch me? Let me be a blessing to the people. If it be one here lost, I pray you'd save them. Deal with them, I pray, this morning. I pray that you'd give them grace and mercy. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. Now, I want to preach on this thought this morning. I'm glad that God still saves old sinners. I'm glad that God still saves old sinners. You say, well, preacher, I want to tell you something. Said, I'm here today and I'm a pretty good person and I hadn't done a whole lot, but I come to tell you this morning that one sin in your life will keep you out of heaven. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Then you may be here today and say, well, preacher, a man or a woman like me, I've done way too much to be forgiven. Preacher, I know that I've had a lifestyle of sin, and I just don't know if Jesus can do it. I come to tell you today that the blood of Jesus will still wash you clean in this day and this hour. Now, watch your Bible. First of all, in verse 27, there is a man. And we find out that he is a
sinner man. We see in 27 that he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. He was an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, I want you to notice about this man, he was a sinner man. Matter of fact, you'll find out in verse 26 where he lodged. He lived in a desert place. Nothing's changed in this day and hour about that message. This is still a deserted place. A lot of you say, well, preacher, I'm not experiencing any heaven down here. Well, if heaven was heaven down here, then it would not be heaven up there. I'll remind you in John's Gospel, Jesus said that he left the 99 in the wilderness to go after that which was lost. I realize it is a wilderness, but oh friend, when Jesus comes back and the 100 is brought together, I sure am glad that heaven will fix it all. Now notice on this man, a sinner man, where he lodged. In verse 27, you'll see about how he lived. He had everything pretty good. I would say that he didn't want for nothing much in his life until he got to hearing the Word of God. That's just like a lot of people. They're minding their own business and they think they're doing pretty good till they hear the precious Word of God and found out there was somebody that died for you and loved you and is coming back one of these days for His church. No doubt he found out that the treasures would not satisfy what was in his heart. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's not wrong to have money today. It's wrong when money has you. And money will bring a little happiness temporary. Matter of fact, there's a few times I wished I had more of it than what I got. But there ain't nobody like Jesus. You see, happiness comes in happenings, but only joy comes in Jesus. A lot of you trying to buy your way through life. And a lot of you think if you had this or had that, that it would make you a whole lot better. Have you ever noticed when you got that, what you went after, went long that the shine got knocked off of it? But honey, there ain't nobody like Jesus. I'm glad that the Lord can do great and mighty things this morning. Matter of fact, I thought I had the world by the tail and was doing pretty good till I heard Isaiah 53. Heard about the God-man that hung on an old rugged cross and died for me and died for you. I'm glad, honey, that the treasures of Egypt run out one day, but the mercies of heaven is still running well. I thank God that He still saves old sinners this morning. Hallelujah! I'm glad He still saves old sinners. Now we see this man, a sinner man, where he lodged and where he lived, but notice in verse 28, it's how he left. He was returning. He'd been to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? How he left. He'd been to church, but he left lost. You know, that's a lot of people on Sunday morning. They'll come to church and they leave lost. But let me tell you, you ain't got to leave lost this morning. Because the Lord of glory sent His Son to die on an old rugged cross that you and me could go free this morning. You ain't got... Hey, I want to say something right quick. I'm glad you come to church. I'm glad I'm pastoring a church. Honey, it may look like the first church of the Presbyterian, and I want to say something right there. It ought to be the prettiest place in town. But the church ain't the building. It's the people on the inside. I'm glad you come to church this morning. There ain't no big ones and there ain't no little ones. And we all stand even at the foot of the cross. What's wrong with churches a lot of times? They're filled with snooty people. Think they're doing God a favor for coming up in His church on Sunday morning. Honey, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell. I sure am glad there's a God that don't operate on justice, but He operates on mercy. One time there's a man and woman and they got married. She was a highfalutin bride. Somebody say amen right there. But if she'd walk into church with her nose up, and if it was to rain, she'd surely drown. There's a little photographer there making pictures at the wedding. And you know, she run him slam crazy because nothing could suit her. Reminds me of a lot of Baptists. Nothing would ever suit them. They picked your service apart and they picked your sermon apart. And you say, well, if I was the preacher here, honey, you ain't the preacher here. Hey, and the reason you ain't the preacher here, because you ain't the preacher this morning. I know what I'd do if I had them young'uns. I know what I'd do if I was married to her. I know what I'd do if I was married to him. But he's doing the best he could. He'd get the camera fixed just right and focus real good. The negatives come back. And it came time, Brother Mike, for the set-down session that she could pick out the pictures that they wanted to buy. And boy, she looked, she just picked every page apart. This ain't right. That ain't right. This ain't right. This is out of focus. All of a sudden, she looked at that little old cameraman, said, I want to tell you something today. Said, your photography ain't done my wedding justice. She said, hon, you don't need justice. You need mercy. Amen. Your photography ain't done me justice. Oh, I'm glad we ain't got a God of justice. We got a God of mercy. Now, I'm glad that you're here this morning. Thank the Lord you've got ready on a Sunday to come to the house of God. I admire these young families to get these babies ready and get them to the house of God. But I want to remind you today, we all stand even at the foot of Calvary. There at the foot of Calvary, we all stand as sinners, either justified by the grace of God or condemned by the law. Amen. But I sure am glad. I got good news for you. You ain't got to leave you there this morning. There was a man, he was a sinner man. Now you'll notice where he lived, and now where he left church, and all of a sudden there appears some man. We see now he's a surrendered man. He's a reading the prophet Isaiah in the chariot. And the Spirit of God, the key ingredient to our services. I'll tell you, my friend, the Holy Ghost can still be grieved to this day and hour. He can still be quenched. And we ought to be sensitive when we come to the house of God that the Spirit of God is in the main process of the service. And the Spirit of God spoke to Philip and said, go to that chariot. And he come by, and guess what? When the Scriptures, and when the sinner, and when the Spirit all meets up together, there's going to be something takes place. Philip walks up and said, do you understand what thou readest? And it amazes me what that sinner said. How can I? lest some man should guide me. Now I want to ask y'all something. I wonder if a sinner man left our church, would he know how to be saved? He just left the church service and didn't know how to be saved. Shame on Liberty Baptist Church if we have unsaved people come in and leave out and hadn't heard the gospel story. I'm glad Jesus still saves those sinners. I'm going to tell you, friend, I don't care who comes in. I'm going to say something real quick. It don't even matter to me the first visitor to how they look. They can go to looking at me and you if we set the right kind of example to see how they ought to do in the house of God. But we always ought to remember this. You didn't get where you are overnight, and they won't either. Jesus still loves those sinners. And Jesus has got to save a sinner before they become a saint. And I wonder when they leave out of here, would they be just as blinded as how they come in here? We hear a lot of people, they just get up and say a few nursery rhymes, but they don't present the greatest story that's ever been told. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I love what old Philip done. There's some man, a surrendered man, and the Bible said he opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. The name above all names. Hey, help me preach on a Sunday now. There ain't no name like His name. There ain't no love like His love. I'm glad He still saves those sinners this morning. Some man, a surrendered man. Boy, it does my heart good to see people get up out of the seat. Go hug somebody and tell them that they love them. It does me good to see others get out of their pews and get around the altar and pray one with another. Let me tell you something. I sure am glad that I've met some people that are surrendered for the Lord Jesus Christ. Shame on us, church, if number one, if sinners come in here and they don't feel like they're welcome. You ought to be the first one to stick your little hand out and say, thank you by the grace of God. I'm glad you come down here this morning. You say, well, preacher, parking's got real bad and we don't need nobody to park where we got. Why don't you park out in the highway and walk in the house of God? Give somebody else your parking spot. Amen. I love it when folks come in, they sit where you've been a sitting. And it dawned on you that wasn't your pew. Boy, I love it. People, Brother Jerry, come in. You ain't got no lap. Let me sit on this boy right here. Hallelujah. Tell it, Daniel. Hear me. I didn't have no place to sit down. I love it when folk come in and sat down. Right where you've been a sitting about 20 years and I mean, you get up, go to the bathroom, and come back. Somebody sitting where you thought you owned. But you don't own where you're sitting this morning. Boy, I sure am glad that there is some men that are surrendered men that have gave you their seat, gave you their parking spot. By the way, I appreciate that good work day we had around here yesterday. Amen. Thank the Lord that we got some surrendered folk that have come in and want to see the glory of God. I sure am. Anybody glad to go to church with surrendered people? That somebody can ask, oh, how do I get saved? Said, that place there's a reading down there at church. Matter of fact, it amazes me. He left church and he is reading Isaiah 53. That old preacher, that old icicle they had, must have read the text and said, now it's 12 o'clock, I can't preach. Y'all, he's on home. But I tell you how wonderful our God is, Brother Mike. If a man will look in the pages of this Bible, the Spirit of God will go to dealing with him. Brother David will go to riding back home in his chariot. I'm glad I've got a God that don't stay at church, but he'll ride back home with you. And I thank the Lord that he still loves those sinners this morning. He was reading Isaiah 53 and said, now, who is he talking about, the prophet, himself or some other man? And that's what we'll preach of just a few minutes this morning, because we've seen a man, he's a sinner man. Then we've seen another man that appears, he's a surrendered man, but lastly, this morning, he said, I want to know about that other man. You see, he's the Savior man. There's nobody like him. Now, I thought about this morning as I looked at this text, and as that boy had left church and walking back, and the preacher wasn't even plain enough to let him know who the Bible was talking about. But I want to tell you today, this Bible's all throughout, it's about the Son of God. You know something? Now in the day and hour that we live, they say in America that the Muslims are worshiping our God. They ain't worshiping our God. Because they can't get to our God. Because if you bypass His way to God, which is His Son, you can't get to where He is. Now, I want you to notice this. Help me just a few minutes now. There's some other man in verse 34. He said, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? This of himself or of some other man? I want to say today that this some other man, he's a ransoming man. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2, I want you to turn with me there today. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 3. He's the ransoming man. This is my favorite text in the book of Timothy. You're talking about something that is clarifying the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus. Look what this Bible says. There's some other man, the Savior man. Who is he? He's a ransoming man. 1 Timothy 2. Verse number 3 said, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. You ought to underline this. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, you can't be saved till you know about the truth. And here's the truth. He said in verse number 5, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Verse 6, underline it, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Honey, God sent His Son not to die for a few, but to die for all. A lot of people say, well, I've heard that so much. What's so exciting about that? That's one of the most powerful verses in your Bible. To think that God sent His Son to take your place and my place on an old rugged cross and pay the sin debt that we could not pay. You say, preacher, I'm a good person. I'm living right. Won't get you to heaven. You say, well, preacher, I love the Lord. It ain't going to get you to heaven. You've got to be born again by the grace of God. You've got to realize that Jesus paid your price. You've got to realize you're a sinner and come to God by His Son by faith this morning. And He said, I paid the price. Aren't you glad we got a God that paid it in full? And He paid the price. Now, watch your Bible. He's a ransoming man. He said who gave Himself a ransom. That word means price for all. Ma'am, if you die and go to hell, I want to tell you something, that Jesus paid the price to keep you out of there. Sir, if you die and go to hell in your sins, I want to tell you that Jesus paid the price to get you out of there. He's the ransoming man. I'm glad He paid the price. Number two, not only is He a ransoming man, but the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 7, He's a reaching out man. I sure am glad that in the book of Hebrews chapter number 7, you'll find out that He is a reaching man. Aren't you glad that you got a God that can still reach sinners? Hebrews 7 verse 24, "But this man, because he continueth ever, he hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost." Well, preacher, how does he do it? Here it is. "That come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, or who was sent to us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." Now, he's a ransoming man, but the Bible says he's a reaching man. It says he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. You mean, preacher, God could reach where I'm at? I'm glad His hand is not too short. I'm glad His ear is not deaf this morning. I sure am glad one day He reached down to where I was, because I couldn't get to Him. But I sure am glad He reached my way and picked me up by the grace of God. Oh, preacher, He's a ransoming man. He's a reaching man. I want to say something. He's a righteous man. Hebrews 10. Look in this verse in number 10. You want to know where He is? The Bible will tell you where Christ is at today. He says, "By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, he forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." I'm glad the one offering that He made of His body on the cross is sufficient to not only get us to heaven, but to keep us to heaven. He said once and for all, He made one sign. I don't have to go to another priest every Sunday. I don't have to go and speak through a hole in a door and ask the man to forgive me of my sins. You know why? Because there's one man between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And I thank the Lord I know who He is this morning. Me and my wife was in Italy one time, and one of the saddest things I've ever seen. We walked into a big Colosseum, a big nice cathedral. There was a little room built back on the back side of that big sanctuary. We seen a woman sitting there on both of her knees. She was talking through a little window cut in the door. And I looked in there and I seen a man sitting in there with a little cap and a little white gown on. Boy, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, "See how blessed you are. Somebody told you a long time ago how you could get to heaven. There's no man, I don't care if you're the best friends with a preacher, your preacher let you die and go to hell in your sins. I don't care if you know the Pope by first name basis and you got his cell phone number. Honey, without the Lamb of God, you'll die and go to hell in your sins. There's one way to the gate. There is no option. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him this morning. I'm so thankful. Y'all don't know how thankful we ought to be. Miss Sherry, if you'd come. You have no idea how thankful that we ought to be. That we've heard a clear-cut presentation of the gospel of the grace of God. What is it, preacher? You know what amazes me about people really don't understand? Where's the gospel hardened? But there's a lot of people don't really understand how to get to heaven, how to be saved by the grace of God. I will say, first of all, you're a sinner. You was born a sinner. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. A man's, a boy, a girl's got to realize that he's lost without Christ. Your own efforts can't get you to heaven. That'd be by the works of the law. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. There's no other way. And at that time, the Spirit of God deals with your heart. You say, preach, I want to ask you this. How do I know the Spirit of God's dealing with me? Well, you heard the gospel, didn't you? If you want to be saved, I'd say this. Anybody God ain't dealing with, they don't want to get saved on their own effort. But if you want to be saved today, He'd save you. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, it takes balance. The Spirit must deal with your heart, and you must want to be saved by the grace. Would you like to be saved this morning? Boy, I'm glad He still saves those sinners. He said, I want to know something, Philip said, here in Isaiah 53, where I've been reading, this prophet, is he talking about himself or some other man? Philip opened up his mouth, began to preach unto him Jesus. You see, He's a ransoming man. He's a righteous man. Oh, I'm glad He's a rich man. But that Bible says in Acts chapter number 1, He's a returning man. Yes. Hey, church. You know one of the greatest hopes we've got, Brother Lee? The Lord's coming back for us. I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I didn't tell you, you better be ready when He comes. And the only way you can be ready is by the grace of the Lord Jesus. Put your faith in His Son. Step out in faith and He'd save you this morning. This is what the devil will tell you. You've done too much. No, you hadn't. He can reach to the uttermost today. I want to ask you fellas something. I wonder if he had left our church, would somebody have tried to reach him? Oh, I'm not talking going to him, embarrassing him. I'm just talking about would you have been available to tell him about the grace of God? Would you have come around an altar when you seen him at your church? Pray for him. People's got to know that you care for him. That you love him. It thrills me to see people come to our church. Thrills me. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad there's a congregation that'll share their love with people. I want to ask something today. I wonder if some of y'all gather around this altar, pray that God would use you to help some people to tell them about Jesus.